last week. I'm sorry. And it was the week before. We started talking about, the title was discerning. We're going to continue on down them lines, I believe, this morning. I want you to agree with me that we come in here like the book of Acts. They come in to the house one mind, right? One accord, one purpose, right? To uplift the Lord and to do His will. And that's what we come for, amen? And He meets us here too. So if you got your Bible, trying to discern here which way I want to go. I told Beth I don't think these are in order. There is a, in case y'all haven't noticed it, there's a call being put out today by the Lord. He's calling His people closer to Him. He's calling His church to a higher place. Why? Because we have, before He comes, we have to become the united, one corporate man, glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Because according to Ephesians, that's what He's coming back for, right? When He comes in the clouds to receive His church to Himself. And there's a call going out that God is blowing the trumpet, I believe. And how many knows, everybody that says they're a Christian, they're not hearing it. Some of us are hearing it, some of us are not hearing it. It's kind of like, I'll just use this for an example, the elections. You know, one party is for one thing and the other party is for another thing. And the only way that you're going to know that, which one to be on the side of, is according to the Word and according to His Spirit, right? Because there's one party, excuse me, that their number one goal is to fight for their right to abort babies, which is murder. I mean, and I believe when you see something so demonically influenced like that, and you've got millions upon millions of people that is their number one goal of having somebody elected for, I believe that is completely demonically influenced. Because, I mean, not only in the New Testament, I mean, you go back to the Old Testament, that's in the Ten Commandments, right? It says, thou shalt not kill. When you look that up, it says murder, which means shed innocent blood. So, therefore, you cannot get any more innocent than an unborn child that has never done anything that is right or wrong. But how many knows, there are those in that party and of that party and for that party that say they're Christians. There's like there's a line being drawn today in the sand. The Bible says in the last days, and we know that we are in the last of the last days because of the times that we live in. But He said there'll be a line drawn. You either get on the left or you get on the right. The right is on the Lord's side, the left is not, right? It's like there's a call going out, but everybody's not hearing the call. There's some, they are born again, they are Christians, they're still not hearing the call. And I believe I want to, the Lord wants us to figure out why. Because you might think, how can they believe that? How can they not hear that? How can they not hear the Lord about that? Well, hopefully we'll learn why this morning. Let's look at, I believe I want Matthew 13 first. We're going to have to do a lot of skipping around because there's a lot of verses on this. Now, this Matthew 13 is in the parable of the sower soweth the word. I mean, so we should be very familiar with those scriptures. But I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Let's see. That's chapter 12. That's why it didn't look right. Verse 9 in Matthew 13, it says, he who has ears to hear. How many knows you may have the ears on the side of your head, but you still can't hear? Why? He's not talking about hearing with the ears on the side of your head. He's not talking about seeing with your natural eyes that you have. You have, the Bible talks about spiritual senses, right? On the inside, they're spiritually discerned. So He says, he who has ears to hear, so that tells me everybody don't have them. Let him be listening and let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing. Now, look at, go on down to verse 14. It says, in them, because they asked Him, how come everybody don't hear or whatever, and He spoke in parables. In them indeed is the process of fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you shall indeed hear and hear, but never grasp and understand. So or so's the word. That's the first thing you got to have, right? You hear the word and you understand it. When you don't, the devil does what? Comes immediately to steal the word, right? He says, and this is the reason why He says it. He says, you shall indeed hear and hear, but never grasp and understand, and you shall indeed look and look, but never see and perceive. For this nation's heart has grown gross, fat, and dull, and their ears heavy and difficult of hearing. And their eyes they have tightly closed, lest they see and perceive with their eyes and hear and comprehend the sense with their ears and grasp and understand with their heart and turn, and I should heal them. Now, we learned in doing that parable of the sower sows the word that it is a willing heart that causes a hearing ear. Just like we used the example during that time quite often, before you got born again, you probably, most of us did not get born again the first time we heard something about Jesus or the gospel. I know I did not. Why? I can't hear it. I can't spiritually discern it. Number one, I'm dead spiritually. And number two, sometimes humility, you humbling yourself. How many knows everything with God is about the heart? Everything. All of us, we can judge by what we see and hear naturally out here, but everything with God is about the heart. So a willing heart will cause you to have a hearing ear. Why? A willing heart is humble and open to the Lord, right? And it'll cause you to have a hearing ear. But how many knows those that are not open, those that are not willing? Y'all have heard the story about Scotty, about his enemies, where he come across that scripture. Now, he's born again, loves the Lord, and he's hearing him. But when he comes across that scripture that says, love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you, he would shut his Bible. I don't want to hear that. What's happening? You're cutting off your hearing. You may not like it when you first hear it. But he goes on and he says, look at it, perceive it, listen to it on the inside. A lot of Christians are not listening on the inside today. They're not looking on the inside today. They're only going by what they see in the outward. And the day and hour that we live in, over and over, the Apostle Paul and Peter and others, over and over in the New Testament, they would tell us, be aware of false prophets. Be aware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Why? The last day, the greatest thing there is deception. And it's running rampant. And the only way that you're not going to be deceived is to spiritually hear and spiritually see. Why? Because he said all spiritual things are discerned by what? The Spirit, right? We read that last week. We may read that again today. But he says they can't because their hearts are fat and dull of hearing. They can't discern it. Let's see. Let's go to Matthew 7. I may have these on order, Beth. We'll see, I guess. Since we're here in Matthew. That fan keeps blowing my paper. Now I've got this in the King James. Matthew 7, and I'm going to start reading in verse 15. He says, beware of false prophets. Listen, if prophets had died out and there was none today, there would be no need to tell us to beware of them, would he? We would just say, oh, we know you ain't one because there ain't any. There is. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. How you going to know that? They look good, they smell good, they sound good, right? He says, you shall know them by what? Their fruits. You better write this down. Because he's telling us keys to the kingdom. You get it? It's his good pleasure to give us the keys of his kingdom. So one of the ways that we're going to know the sheep that are the wolves that are in sheep's clothing, he says, by their fruits. What's that? Their actions, their words, what they do, right? Kind of like this. You got one party. They say they love America. They are for America, and they are for open borders. They say there's been over 10 million people cross that border. That's what they know about. And then you've got other people. They say they're Christians. They say they're for God. They've been born again. And they're like, I can't believe y'all were against this. These people are just coming for a better life, and they just want a job. Well, okay, if it's okay to have open borders, which God established boundaries in the Bible, right? Just like the land of Canaan, he established every boundary. But anyway, if that's the case, and that's what you really believe, and you're not a hypocrite, remove your boundary line of your property. Give them a key to your house. Why? They just want a better life. They don't got no land, so you need to give them yours now if you're not going to be a hypocrite. Why? Just think about the people in Arizona and California and all the places where they have come across. I mean, they say they're cutting their fences. They have just garbage. You get over a million people coming. They throwing stuff away. Why? The journey's getting heavy. You got garbage and all kinds of stuff all over these people's land. Just an invasion. So if you're not a hypocrite, then you should give them what you have, right? Ah, that's where they draw the line. Because it's not so. It's not really what they believe in their heart. Now, what did I tell y'all? 15? Oh, gosh, that keeps changing my paper. Let me just cut that off. get distracted here. Verse 16, he says, you shall know them by their fruits. In other words, their words and their deeds. Now, that doesn't mean if you see somebody do something wrong every now and then or once in their lifetime or something, that that's bad fruit necessarily coming from a bad heart. How many knows, even though we are the righteous, we can sometimes do bad things? That's why we have to repent, right? Just like a bad person can every now and then do something good. He goes on and he says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire, whereby their fruits you shall know them. So it's not just their spirit, it's what you see them do and hear them say, right? By their fruits you're going to know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Everybody's not doing his will that says they're called by his name. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? This bothered me for a long time. I could not understand this. But just like this, I'm going to apply it to myself. I am in the fivefold ministry. I'm doing it right now. I minister, right, to people. How many knows that's a gift? God will operate through me for you. It's a gift that you open. It's a gift to you. It's not based on necessarily how I live. I have my life to live at home. What I'm doing now is just the operation of a gift. And so that bothered me. I thought, Lord, how can they prophesy in your name and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And him say, and then will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Why? It's based on my lifestyle, my relationship with him. It's not based on this gift. Just like right now, I can be anointed and appointed and I can teach y'all and give y'all whatever he gives me. But when I come down and I go home, that's what he judges me on. Now, he also judges me by this also. I mean, teachers, ministers, they'll be held to a greater accountability, the Bible says. But do you understand that? He can work through me in here because y'all believe, right? You're looking to him to give you what you need and all that. So I'm just kind of like a conduit. That's how people do that. But notice what he says here. He goes on and he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him into a wise man which built his house upon a rock. What is it you got to do? Hear and do. That's the key. Hear and do. He says, a wise man built his house upon a rock. Well, we know over there he told Peter, when Peter had a revelation of who Christ is, he says, upon this rock, upon this revelation, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail, right? In other words, you won't fall. It says, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It wasn't because of you, it was because of him, and you was there to spiritually discern the things that you were supposed to spiritually discern. Just like I said last week, anybody that's supposed to be in this service this morning, that are listening by way of internet or however they're supposed to be listening to it, if they're not, you're not getting what you need. And I don't say that because of me or anybody else. That's just the way it is. God sets a thing up, he sets a table before us, but he will not make us come eat. Right? He will not make us come in. So it's my choice or your choice or everybody's choices whether or not we're going to be built upon the rock. There is a storm coming. Y'all just wait till you see it when Trump gets in. The people, I'm telling you, they're going to, but you thought you seen rights before. It's going to be major things coming, and we must be built upon the rock. Why? Because things in government's going to change. Things in our arena will change. Now, maybe not quite as much as big cities and different things like that. Supply chains may be broken up. I don't know exactly how that's going to be. But there's going to be a shaking. Why? God is going to shake the tree. He's going to shake out injustices. You hear what I'm telling you? He's going to shake it out. Why? God is in the love, and God, which is love, is not for injustice. He is a God of justice. He's a God of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, right? And he's going to shake the tree, and everything that can be shook, Job, Johnny, See, when you walk and you live by faith and you spiritually discern God's voice and you do your best to obey Him, when Satan starts coming, you don't have to change. You've been living by the kingdom the whole time. But if you've been living according to this world system in any area, because it's coming down, your little house is going to fall. That's why the call is going out to everybody. Why? God loves people. Saved, lost, He loves us. He makes provision for us, right? He makes us strong. He makes us stable. Like He says here, their house will be built upon the rock. And the rains are coming. They're going to come to the saved, the lost, all of us. He says, and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Thank you, Lord. And everyone that heareth, you get it? Everybody's not hearing. That's a key. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. In other words, like James says, you even if you do hear it, you don't do it. He says, shall be likened unto a foolish man. He said, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, same thing as the verses before, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That's awful. That's going to be absolutely awful. But now God has mercy. God is bringing judgment. Why? Because God loves us. And because things have went so far. Do you realize, I'm not saying everybody that is in our government, I'm saying the majority, in our government have become, both sides, all parties, become corrupt to the point to where they are wanting to enforce Sharia law in this country and make us Islamic. You don't do that for God. Absolutely not. But the thing about it is, because God still has His people here in this country, He's going to bring judgment on those that are doing that. But how many knows we will be saved? The righteous Bible says we run into Him and we are saved. Amen? But we must be built upon the rock. And that means we must be spiritually discerning to hear what He's saying to us. Because in the hour that we're coming down to, your very life may depend on whether you heard God or not and obeyed Him. Whether you went left or right. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, those people, they're already here. I'm talking about in Blount County. They're already here from Haiti. They shipped them up there to, I think that's called Go Kiss. But anyway, it's the chicken plant in Abreville up there. Jeffrey, which used to go to church here, which is my nephew, his mother-in-law works there. So I know this is not just hearsay. You know what I'm saying? They're here. They're shipping them all over the place. Well, these people, all of them are not here for being good. And all of them are not here because they want a better life. Not to get in fear or anything. And just like when you're out, be spiritually discerning. Be aware. I mean, I've heard stories of pastors have a building program or something, and they have some people that comes and talks to them, and they're going to build it for this and that and another. And the whole time, they was nothing but scam artists. Why didn't that pastor know? And they got hoodwinked and lost millions of dollars. I'm not trying to say nothing bad about the pastor, but how many knows God knew if they were scammers or not? Let's see. Let's look at John 6. See, it's not enough for you just to know the Word of God. The devil knows the Word of God back in front. You understand that? He quoted it to Jesus, thought he would get something over on the Word himself. Now, he could not, and he cannot us, if we are discerning. Why? Number one, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us if we've been born again. The Bible says in John, He is the Spirit of truth. Romans chapter 8 says that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And how many knows? He will only bear witness with truth. He doesn't bear witness with lies. But if you've not been exercising this, if you've not been doing this, and you've been saved for 20, 30 years, you're way behind. Be here in John, what did I tell you, John 6? Went too far. Now, the scriptures, I'm not going to read this whole thing. I don't have time for that. But the scriptures before John 6:63, he's telling them that he is the bread of life. You know, all this. He tells them, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And they knew in the Old Testament, God told them, don't ever eat any flesh with the blood in it, right? That's a big thing for God. Why? Because the life is in the blood. They have to spiritually discern what he's saying. Because it sounds like with this ear, he's going against old written Old Testament law, right? So it is the only way they can discern this. So here in verse 63, he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit connects with spirit. Spirit does not connect with flesh, and flesh will not connect with spirit. He says, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. This is a way that you can discern. When somebody's talking to you, or you're hearing a preaching a sermon, or you're hearing a song, or whatever the case may be, or somebody's prophesying, whatever, is it spirit? Does it bear witness in your spirit that this is spirit, and is it bringing life? Or is it bringing fear? Is it bringing doubt? Everybody needs to be discerning everything, just like this, for an example. Because this is the worldwide thing that's going on right now. I hear one party talk, and I hear bondage. I hear lies. Because you're saying one thing, but I've seen your actions doing something else for 3.5 years. And now all of a sudden, you're changing. When you tell me by, 2030, 2035, everybody here has to have an electric car, I hear bondage. Why? God gives me choice. They don't give me choice. They're trying to rule over me. Telling me that I can no longer have a gas stove. Why? Because they're going to cut off the fossil fuels. Now they're flip-flopping now. But you go back. They've got it on the news and different things. The things they've said and that they have done and that they've been doing for 3.5 years. And now all of a sudden they're going to change it. Wolf in sheep's clothing. I hear bondage. I hear chaos. There's another party that when I listen to them and they got some blankety blank blanks. I told y'all it was coming. And that right there causes religious people especially to not hear within here. Why? Because they heard this and they're like, no way! No way that could be God! Y'all better hear me. Even the Pharisees, the strictest sect of the law, did not discern Jesus when he came, the majority of them. Now there was some, just like, what was his name? I can't think of it now. Who? Yeah. What'd you say, good night? Oh, Nicodemus. Now, he did, right? He listened to him. Sinners was able to discern better than the Christians, so-called Christians. They wasn't Christians at the time. But do you understand? They had studied some of them their entire lives to know when he was coming. It's not up here. It's not up here. But there was some that on the inside of them, there was just something about this man Jesus. He was different. Even when he would speak, they would be astonished, they said, because he spoke not as the Jews and the Pharisees spoke. They said, but he spoke to them as one with authority, right? They could discern it. They could sense it. But then you've got others that have studied the Bible, the parchments and things that they had their entire life, but they could not see it. Where do we get to? Y'all remember? Verse 63. Let's see how far I wanted to go with that. Oh, skip on down. This is just for time's sake. Verse 68. Then Simon Peter said unto him. Now remember the verses before this. He was talking about them. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. And then he told him the words that I speak to you. They're spirit and they are life. So verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Notice what he says. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Words. He says, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They overrode what 70-something of them got so messed up about. Remember, 70-something left him when he said this saying right here. Just at his words, they left him. They saw him do miracles. They saw him cast out devils. But those words right there, excuse me, let's talk, it makes you much dry. But when they heard those words right there, they said, who can hear this? Ain't that what they said? Who can hear this? In other words, this is against written word. We cannot. So you must have the spirit to even rightly discern the word of God right on the inside of you. It's not just the word. There's got to be something behind the word. Now let's look at, we're running out of time here. Hebrews 4. We read this one last week, but we're going to read it again today. Just want to look at it again. Probably most of us in here could quote it. And listen, young people, you better hear what I'm telling you and take this for yourself. Because the devil has a plan for your life. And it is not the plan of God. And it will not be good. Hebrews chapter 5. Oh, I'm sorry. The first one was Hebrews 4. That's right. No, you was good. Because I got two of them there, but I just looked down at my paper at the wrong one. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For time's sake. Let's see how I got that one amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing, look at that, and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. God knows the heart. You better write this down, and the Word of God will help us to discern. Why? Because you put the Word of God in your heart and you begin to renew your mind with the Word of God, it will put you on a level of thinking in a pattern that God Himself thinks. So that when something comes to you that is out of line with that Word, it discerns it right then. Now, some things you may have to, it may take a little prayer. You may not always instantly discern everything. Because how many knows, it can look like it can walk like a duck, quack like a duck, but it might not be a duck always. Some things we have to pray about to get the discernment about it. Hebrews chapter 5. And how many knows that takes some time and effort? Everybody don't want to do it. Why? We want popcorn, instant gratification. God don't always give that. God, I've learned something about He likes to be sought out. The Bible says God likes to conceal a matter, but it's the heart of kings that will reveal it, that seek it out, right? Here in, what did I say? Verse 14. How do I get that? Amplified. He says, but solid food, well, let me just start in verse 13. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obvious. We all started out with milk, right? For everyone who continues to feed on milk, tells me we're supposed to be growing, is obviously, notice what it says, inexperienced. You ain't been working on it. Inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action, for conformity to the divine will, I'm underlined green, pink, and everything else here. It's hard to read it. We go on to verse 14. It says, but solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties, notice what he says, are trained. How do you train? If you're going to run a marathon, what you got to do? Lay on the couch and watch Days of Our Lives and eat Debbie cakes? Absolutely not. You'll be out of breath before you even get a quarter mile. If you make it that far, I would not make it that far. I've not been training in that way. But notice what he says. He says, have their senses, you got spiritual senses inside. Mental faculties, that has to do with your mind, right? Are trained by what? Practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary, either to divine or human law. We live in a day that I thought I had seen it before, but I see it now. We live in a day where the Bible talks about in Proverbs, God said in the last days they will call good evil and evil good. You tell me what is good about drag queens and transgenders going into our schools or our libraries, reading our little children, I'm talking about little children, I'm not talking about even teenagers, little children, books about certain sexual things. How many knows there's some ages kids don't even need to know anything about any kind of sexual things? Now, there comes a time for that, but then there's not. And the thing about it, it's not for the drag queen and the transgender to teach that to our children with explicit books. That's evil. But they're calling it good. It is not. Let's look at John 14. have something I want to read to y'all. I didn't know if the Lord would have me to read it or not, but I feel inspired to. Since we're on this subject, and I really do not like doing this. I do not like saying, thus saith the Lord, or the Lord said this. Well, you better be very careful about that. I mean, I do that with fear and trembling because, I mean, I just don't want to do that. But anyway, let me find it here. I'm going to read it in the Living Bible. Beth, if you'll put that up, please. It's going to be Revelation chapter 3. I believe last night the Lord gave me this for this entire church, something that he's saying to us right now. He says, write this letter to the leader of the church in Philadelphia. This message is sent to you by the one who is holy and true and has the key of David to open what no one can shut and to shut what no one can open. I know you well. Thank you, Lord. Right? We want to be known of him. He says, I know you well. You aren't strong, but you have tried to obey and have not denied my name. Therefore, I have opened a door to you that no one can shut. That's awesome. He says, note this. I will force those supporting the causes of Satan while claiming to be mine, but they aren't. They are lying. To fall at your feet and acknowledge that you are the ones I love. Because you have patiently obeyed me despite the persecution. Therefore, I will protect you from the time of great tribulation and temptation, which will come upon the world to test everyone alive. He says, look, I am coming soon. Hold tightly to the little strength you have so that no one will take away your crown. Now, I believe the Lord gave me this verse for this church last night, but it's up to you to discern whether he did or not. I believe that he did. But see, don't believe me just because I say God said. That doesn't just go for people out there. That goes for people in here because according to Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, every one of us, we only know in part. So therefore, I know everything I know and think I know cannot be 100% whole because I only got a part of the puzzle, right? So y'all discern that for yourself. And here in John 14, I'm going to start reading in... wrote down verse 5. All right, I'll just say this part. We'll start at verse 5. The verses up above this, Jesus is about to go, and he's telling them what's going to happen. You know, he's going away, and he's going to prepare a place for them. And he goes and prepares a place. He's coming back. You know, don't let your heart be troubled and all that. Now, we're going to pick this up in verse 5. How do I got that? The Amplified or King James? King James. He says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Notice what Jesus tells him. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, what? If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Why? Jesus said, the Father is in me, and I'm in the Father. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you, right? If we know you, then we should know Christ, right? And if we know Christ, then we should know. Why? We hear Christ when you talk. That's like I told you a while ago, one party I listen to, and I hear bondage. Now they're saying that they're going to, because prices and inflation is high, now what they want to do is pass a law that they make how much we pay for groceries. Are you kidding me? What if we can't afford that? Now, I'm not talking about us because we can afford whatever we need to. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? What if some people, they can't afford that? Okay, well, what if they make it too low to where the vendors, they can't sell it. They can't buy it and resell it and make a profit so businesses go well. Do you see the control? But then when I listen to another one, I hear God. I'm telling you people, God is coming like a freight train. With goodness and blessing. When they talk about we're going to do away with national debt. Hallelujah! When they talk about we're going to lower taxes. Okay, now I got a track record for this too. It's not just words. What did you do the 4 years you was there before? Did you raise taxes? Did you lower taxes? Okay, if you lower taxes then, I'm inclined to believe you will do it again, right? Those that are not for Roe v. Wade, Leave it up to the states. If you're a state that you want that, how many knows you can have what you want? But don't make all of us go along with your crap. I hear freedom when I hear another party talk. I hear God, that I don't have to get an electric car. That, listen, I don't even like V6. You think I'm going to like your electric car? I want to hear some mufflers roar. I can't imagine that in an electric car. That's why I don't drive a V6. It's like, wah, wah. I'm like, no. Well, this party's telling me, hey, I can have the hot rod if I want it. It's my choice. Do you hear the freedom? Why? God's always freedom. God always gives choice. God, the devil always wants to bind up, to control. Do you hear that? Now notice what he says. Thomas, how is it I've been with you for 3.5 years and you don't know me or my Father? You've not been spiritually discerning. He said, everything I say, I only say it because I hear my Father say it. So whose words is it? The Father's? Might be Jesus' words, might be your words, might be my words, but what is the spirit that is behind the words that's being said? We're supposed to know. Let's go on with this before I run out of time. Where do we get to? Got down to verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, so he's telling me, to me, he said, you should have known me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. The Bible says God, no man has ever seen God and lived, right? How do you see him? In the spirit and in the life of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus himself was the very manifested representation in the flesh of God himself. He said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. So then it's not Jesus' works, right? It's the Father's. You don't do anything unless you hear him do anything, unless you see him do it, right? Then, therefore, whenever you do it, it is the Father that does the work, not you, right? He goes on and he says here, henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now notice what Philip says. He's just seeing carnal. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. He's wanting to see something with natural eyes and hear something with natural ears. And you cannot. Why? It's spiritually discerned. God is a spirit. He says, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me, what? You've seen the Father. He says the same thing with us. If the Father's in you, everybody ought to be seeing him. Now, I don't mean that you're perfect, because none of us are completely flawless, right? Absolutely none of us. But what thing about with God is everything is about the heart. If your heart is progressively going after God, seeking him, wanting to know, striving, and when you mess up, Lord, I'm sorry, help me, I repent, fast if you need to, whatever, right? Those are the ones that he's talking about. Not those that's just laying around. Their heart is not after God. It's just after flesh, what they want to do. He goes on here, and he says, he that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He's like, you done seen him. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words, he's saying that again. Remember we read that a while ago. The words, Jesus said. He says, but the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Okay, we started out by reading that over there. He said, you prophesied in my name, you've done all this stuff, and depart from me, you workers of iniquity, that I never knew you. But we started out with the one, he said, be aware of false prophets. You're going to know them by their what? Fruits, their works. Ain't that what just he just said here? He says, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. When you hear somebody that has the words, I'm talking about in line with what God would do in his heart, you know that's God talking. When you see the works, same works that Jesus done, that the Father's telling you to do, then you know. Why? That's their fruit. He goes on here. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Notice what he says. Okay, if you can't believe that. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me because I'm healing the sick. I'm raising the dead. I'm cleansing the lepers. I'm feeding the hungry. I'm clothing the poor. Right? All these things. He says, these is works. He says, if you can't believe, if you ain't got spiritual discernment enough to hear my words that they are the Father's, then believe me because of the work, the fruit I've got going on in my life. Verse 12. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Why? The Father's in you too. And it was the Father that was in Jesus by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit in us that does the work, right? He says, in greater works, thank you, Lord, than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is a big one right here. You got people all over the world running around hollering, I love the Lord. But almost every fruit in their life does not reflect that. Now, I didn't say they didn't mess up and have problems, different things like that. But I mean, when you see that almost every fruit in their life is contrary to the Word of God and the works of Jesus, then you know you don't love Him. You might think you do. You might have a feeling toward Him. How many knows a feeling is not love? I can have 100 different feelings a day, depending on who it is and how they move me, or what I let thoughts go on in my head. I can feel like I love my husband one day and feel like I don't the next day. How many knows I better not go by what I feel? I better go by faith, right? What the Bible says love is. He goes on here and he says, what verse did we get to? 14? Are we on 15 now? No, we're on 15. He says, if you love me, there's a test. You can see it. Keep my commandments. What is his commandments? Well, according to the New Testament, it is love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Over there in John, what is it, 13, 34, and 35? He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. This is our fruit. He said, because you have love one for another. But the world will tell you, go along with their crap. Jesus loves everybody. You're judging me. That's not scriptural. We're judging what we hear coming out of you. We're judging what we see coming out of you. He told us to. He said, that's how we're going to know. You're supposed to judge what you hear coming out of me. Judge what you see in me. Not that I'm perfect, but over a period of time, you're going to see something one way or another. So if I don't keep his commandments, and love is the number one, that I love him. See, I can't love you and be in agreement with you about abortion because it's against my God. And I'm to love him first. If I don't love him first, I can't love you right. Scotty will tell you today, before we got born again, he loved me. He always loved me, and he treated me like crap a lot of times, and vice versa. But after he got born again, and his eyes was open, and the love of God, true love of God, got shed abroad in his heart, then he said, I can now love you the way I'm supposed to. You can't love people the way you're supposed to without loving God first. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Notice this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Talking about the Holy Ghost. That he may abide with you forever. Notice who he is. He is the Spirit of truth. And that's all he's going to bear witness with is truth. So you got to look inside to have that. Whom the world cannot receive. Notice, because it sees him not. They're spiritually dead. He goes on, neither knoweth him. He says, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, yea, a little while. Let me go on down and fix and run out of time here. I'll just go on and read it. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, yea, a little while, and the world seeth me no more. The world don't see him, but you see me. We still see him, right? He ain't even here. Because I live, you shall live also. And that day, notice he's talking about a certain day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. Notice this next verse. And will manifest myself to him. Certain translations, he said, I will make myself clearly seen and known to you. That's awesome. That is a place where you cannot be deceived. Why? You got the Spirit of Truth living on the inside of you. You are exercising your spiritual senses to discern. Then you've got the Word of God that has renewed your mind, and you've got the living Word of God. You have the Father living on the inside of you. How many knows when you exercise and you do all of what He just said, there's no way you can be deceived. Now, I believe it's Matthew 24. He said, if it were possible, which it's not, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived in the hour that's coming. But how many knows those that know their God? They spiritually discern Him. They love Him. They obey Him. You will not be deceived. Why? That Spirit of Truth and the love for God inside you won't allow it. I've got to stop because my time is up. Does anybody have any comments or anything they'd like to share?